Rogan Tinsley is back. Rogan, good morning.
Good morning.
And you brought some friends with you.
I did. I brought my pianist friend, Janet, and my clarinetist friend, Liam.
Good. And we'll talk a lot about the larger issues of playing music with friends, but we're about to hear two pieces of your trio for a clarinet, saxophone, and piano. So what do you want to say about these two movements? The first is called Sirens.
Yeah, the first movement is called Sirens. It's based off the Greek myth of sirens, the women who tempt men at sea, try and lure them away and eat them. And it's kind of a more modern take on the classic myth of sirens. You know, W.C. wrote a piece called Sirens, and it's very lovely. It's very flowing. But this piece is not that. It's kind of brooding and scary, and it almost feels like the inside of a submarine, just how dark it is and... Yeah.
Little gritty realism here.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the next movement?
The next movement is an incantation. I'm about 5 minutes in length. And it's kind of it's also a brooding piece, but it's very dramatic, very melodramatic, kind of operatic in a way where the other piece is more dark and brooding.
Nice. Well, let's send you back into the other room.
Thank you so much.
The double threat there, Rogan Tinsley, the composer of this piece, is also the saxophone player in this performance and in this piece. Liam Cameron is the clarinet player, and Janet Fong, we're happy to return her to our piano here, is the pianist. She and Rogan are... seniors at Lewis and Clark High School. Liam is a freshman, I believe, at Central Washington University. Let's go to the studio for this performance of the first two movements of this trio, the first movement, Sirens, and the second movement, Incantations. Thank you. That was the first movement. That was Sirens of the piece. Okay. So the performers are coming on in, and make your way to two microphones there. So Rogan, that was just the first movement?
That was the first and second movement.
Oh, that was both movements together. That was Sirens and Incantations of those pieces. And then what's the title that is the third movement that we didn't hear today?
Oh, the third movement is another. It's kind of another repetition of Sirens, except it's a little bit more steady tempo, a little bit more structured.
Okay, good. And you and I, when you previously came in, spoke about Debussy, and then you even, as you were talking about the difference between the Debussy Sirens, is there some correlation between the fact that you're a saxophone player and you seem to be pretty fascinated with French music?
Oh, yeah. As a classical saxophonist, there's not a lot of music outside of France and a little bit of Japan that you can play. And Debussy, actually, he wrote for saxophone, a relatively well-known piece called Rhapsody for saxophone and orchestra. So I've gotten the opportunity to play some of his pieces, which is part of why I love him so much. But he also kind of, to me, he innovated the idea that music is atmosphere. And that's a big driver in my music, atmosphere.
Yeah, and clearly we heard that, and especially in the atmospheric things that you wrote for Janet.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
You're a wind player. Did your mother properly make you take piano lessons when you were 5 years old or anything like that?
I played bluegrass violin when I was 5 years
old. Oh, okay.
Old, so,
well, that's a good. That's right. You're talking about that. You and your dad's commonality on that.
Yeah. It wasn't classical piano, so I don't really have that advantage that a lot of other composers have. But I mean, it gave me an outlook on music that I don't think I would have gotten from playing classical piano.
But talk about being inside piano enough to write for it.
Yeah, when I was in eighth grade, I got a piano because I felt that as I'm writing music for multiple instruments, mm-hmm. not just saxophone, I kind of need a piano. So I got a piano, and then I was like, you know, this is pretty cool. And then I started playing on real pianos, and I started dissecting them and trying to learn how they work and how to take advantage of their different extended techniques and whatnot. And that didn't happen until later in my career as a composer.
But then do you just kind of figure out what fits into the hands and that sort of thing?
I kind of appropriate kind of what the pianist might be able to do. When I give music to a pianist, as a non-pianist, it's still kind of hit and miss. I'll be honest, I'm not great at writing for piano. Prefer writing for wind instruments and string instruments, but...
But then I assume somebody like Janet will tell you what does or doesn't work.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, that helps. And speaking of friends, Liam Cameron is here, too, the clarinetist. Hello, Liam.
Hello.
And so I'm going to project here that you and Rogan were both in the LC band together, and there were all kinds of other people and factions in the band, and you probably discovered that each of you was kind of serious about music in a certain way. Is that a safe assumption?
That's pretty accurate. I don't think we started working with each other classically for a while. We actually started jazz together. We were playing in jazz ensembles together.
So are you also a sax doubler?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then he started writing all this classical stuff. I was like, get me on that train, you know? It's great literature.
And so then you'd, in the back of the band bus coming back from a football game, be talking about how to write a classical piece and all those great geeky things that people do. Well, what about you and your own love of the clarinet and your own moving toward music? Has this been a pretty steady stream for you over the last few years?
It's been pretty straightforward, I would say. I try not to keep it very complicated, you know. I do my practice, I do my gigs, I sleep, kind of thing. But it's been great. I made a lot of good friends, and I think a lot of people underestimate the business that you can get in music.
What do you mean by that?
In that, you know, when you're working in music, you don't get the experience of, you know, this is my employer, this is it. It's like, well, maybe I'm teaching, maybe I'm performing here. You put it together these days, which some people say is sad, but I think that's how it's always been for music.
You know? And so you feel up to that and challenged and even inspired to be that kind of person.
Yes.
Yeah. So are you a music major?
Yes, I do performance, clarinet performance.
Good. And so talk a little bit more, therefore, about the breadth of your education and the education that you seek, you know, while you're there with a really great music department telling you what you should learn. What are the things you do around the edge to really keep yourself broad?
Well, being in jazz, since we were talking about it, that helps me stay broad, I think, because it not only forces me to play other instruments, but it forces me to, like, get involved with all these other styles, which really just enhances my classical understanding as well. You know, in classical music, you're not really pushed as hard to sight read, which I think jazz has really helped me do. When you walk into a classical room and they tell you to sight read this, you know, there's an assumption you get it wrong, whereas in jazz, it's an assumption it's right every single time when you walk in and sight read it. So.
Oh, that's going to be my quotable quote from you. Thank you. I have one already from Rogan, and I like that quote a lot. Liam Cameron talking about that. And back to you, Rogan. You must be right in the throes of trying to figure out what you're doing next year.
Oh, definitely in the throes.
So what are some of the what's some of that journey?
Trying to find the right college is definitely good, and especially trying to find the right composition program, because not only do you have to find, you know, a teacher that works for you, you have to find other students and peers, because you're going to be working closely with them, and finding or accidentally getting stuck in a composition program where it's very competitive to write music. I just don't think it should be competitive to compose music. You know, it's an individual endeavor. And a lot of the colleges I've visited, the students are trying to, like, out-compose each other, trying to write more music than the other guy, write better music than the other guy. And trying to find a composition program like that, or not like that, as well as a composition teacher that, you know, I can work really well with, and facilities that are good. It's kind of a challenge, but.
So without naming names or places, is that working? Are you able to start figuring out some good possibilities for yourself?
Yeah, a lot of small liberal arts colleges are really good with that. A lot of colleges in Washington State are actually fantastic composition programs, so. Pretty excited.
Nice. Including then, you know, quick shout out to the composition teacher you've had at a college for the last year or two.
Jonathan Middleton, yes.
At EWU.
Yeah, he's been my teacher for about 4 years, 3 years, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Fantastic teacher of college students and of aspiring young high school students as well.
I always wonder about people who teach creative things. I wonder about art teachers, about poetry teachers, about composition teachers, because there's not the right or wrong that there is within, you know, the performance of music. You hit the right note or you hit the wrong note. How does that work, that the teacher can guide you and yet leave room for you?
I think the best way that I can explain it is, like, if I'm a teacher and my student were to bring me something that I don't like, I ask them to explain it, and if they can't explain it, then I tell them to get rid of it. because if a student can't explain something, then obviously they have a reason for doing it. And even if you don't personally like it, you know, there's no objective right or wrong. So I think the teacher has to kind of say, you know, if you like it, then do it. But if you're just doing it for no reason, then get rid of it.
Thank you. Now I have my new Rogan Tinsley quote. I appreciate that. Okay, Rogan Tinsley, the composer of this piece that we just heard, and the saxophone player, and Liam Cameron, the clarinet player, and she had to run off, speaking of people busy with finding colleges and stuff, Janet Fung, one of our regulars who's played on our piano many times, was the pianist in that performance. Thank you to all of you.